A lot more than you might expect.
This topic was a part of machlokes, both on the page and in real life, with personalities. There is a lot that swirled around these four lines in this Gemara, and I think I'm not going to share all of it with you for various reasons, but there's a lot of backstory and context to what has surrounded these lines in the Gemara. So, just to try to get a little bit of a sense of it. So, yesterday we focused more on the general implications of Prutur de Rav Yosef, not so much putting it in the context of its application here in Bava Kamma and Vav Mit Beis. So, what we want to do today is more of that, to transition to that, specifically focus on its Bava Kamma and Vav application. But yesterday we talked about some of the general questions, particularly three issues that came up from stating, as the Gemara seems to do here and in a few other places, that being involved in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda and Shmiras Aveda will exempt you from tzedaka. So we discussed just three issues that were provoked by that. You know, one, the major machlokus in the Rishonim, this one we discussed last, saying it backwards, the major machlokus in the Rishonim as to what is the chiddush of Osek B'mitzvah Patim and HaMitzvah, because the assumption is, you have two assumptions, so you have to figure out where the chiddush is. One assumption is that you shouldn't be putter from a mitzvah if the second mitzvah is very easily performed at the same time as the first. And if it's not performable at the same time as the first, so then it's onus, and onus we already know, so what's the chiddush of Osek Mitzvah, Patur and Mitzvah? That was a major machlokus Rishonim. Different answers to that question. But a lot of it affects the sugya, because it sounds like almost as if you are a putter from another mitzvah just because you are passively watching an item that somebody lost. So Tosfos discusses, can't be. Presumably we have to assume you are actively involved in the maintenance at that time. It's something which will deteriorate if you don't do something to take care of it, and therefore we shouldn't think that just being mekayim the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda and Shmiras Aveda is enough. So we got into that discussion a little bit. That was one of the topics that was prompted by this Dinah Prutur of Yosef, and it's discussed in the Tosfos here. And then we discussed also two particular observations about why it might be surprising specifically to say that staka is something you can be exempted for when you are Osek B'mitzvah. And the two reasons why that was surprising is, one, is there a ptur from los aseis? And here again, just Misvara, as the Maris Chayis points out, it seems like there should not be a ptur from los aseis. That, logically speaking, sounds like the ptur of Osek B'mitzvah should only be about mitzvah saseh. And when it comes to staka, so we find language in the Torah of prohibition regarding not giving staka. And you might read those phrases as poetic, but Tosfos in Ksubos at least tells us that it's phrased and meant to be taken as a prohibition. So how could you be putter from prohibitions? So we mentioned there the most likely approach that a number of Sfarim have, that you assume that when you have a structure of a mitzvah saseh and then lo saseh that say don't dare not do this, that that is essentially a structure of an asay with support and follows the rules of an asay. The lo saseh are there just to be mechazek the asay. And the other part that was surprising about applying this to staka is that there are many achronim who assume that Osek Mitzvah only patters you from a mitzvah bein adam umakom. Again, because of the assumption that onus is the key factor here, or something emerging from onus is the key factor. So onus rachmana patre, God forgives you for unavoidable situations when you have good intentions. But human beings, they can't work that way. Human beings don't know what you're trying to do. If they're suffering, they're suffering. And they can't credit your intentions. So human beings cannot pater you just because you are otherwise involved and you have a good excuse. So if that's true, how do we consider this idea that you would be pater from staka, the implications of this din? And we gave some approaches to that. So just to pick up from that point and to take it a little bit further and to bring it into here. So this is discussed in the Tshuva's Mishnah Sacher. The Mishnah Sacher, are you familiar with that Sefer? So that would be a little bit more synergistic maybe if we mentioned him next week.
Mishnah Sacher.
Yeah, because the Tshuva's Mishnah Sacher was a Sefer of Shilas and Tshuva's. It's been printed and reprinted in more volumes. And they also have, in recent years, published his thoughts a la Torah and his thoughts on Pirkei Avos. So if you don't know who that is, I'll tell you the name of the Mechaber and then tell me if that's familiar to you. And I'll give you a hint that's relevant to next week's occasion. And the author was Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal. Is that a familiar name? Sorry? Yes, thank you, Tolo. So he is perhaps more well known as who's a tremendous Gaon, who's the author of Tshuvos and other things, but he later in life became a Zionist and authored the Eim HaBanim Smecha. So in honor of Yom HaAtzmaut, it's important to take note of the author of the Eim HaBanim Smecha. There are many editions, there's translations available, at least one that has the Haskama from Rav Shlechter Shlita. So it's important Sefer to think about in anticipation of Yom HaAtzmaut. So the author of the Mishnah Sacher has a discussion about this, and there's also a discussion of Tshuva's Kinyan Torah Bahalacha, where they say similar things, if I recall correctly, that basically put the two questions together. And they say that, you know, how could it be that if somebody is starving, you're going to let him collapse and faint because you are Oseg B'mitzvah? It can't be. And they basically suggest an approach that addresses both questions, that in general, it's a machlokas, the prohibitions of tzedakah, the prohibitions of los ikpos, los ametz, it's a big discussion when they apply, because it's a pretty scary thing, right? The idea that there are Torah prohibitions involved in refusing tzedakah, because all of us have to say no from time to time. None of us are able to give tzedakah to everybody who is interested. So we have to try to figure out and hope that it's a kind of narrowly applicable concept, because the idea that any time we say no to a tzedakah request, it's like we're eating pasha b'chalav and wearing shatnas at the same time, because we're violating two lavin. It sounds pretty scary. So there's a lot of discussion as to when exactly those lavin are relevant. Are they always applicable? Does the Yaseh and the Lo Seaseh always go together? So that's a question that the Achronim discuss. So here the Mishnah Sacher has the approach, Kiri Torah has as well, that it's not always that these prohibitions are relevant. That maybe we should be machalik between an ani who you know is around and who needs help, and an ani who specifically comes and asks you. Now, it's only going to help us somewhat because we have enough aniim who specifically ask us, so we still probably need more to rally to our defense as far as these prohibitions are concerned, practically speaking. But just from a lamdish perspective here, so that's his assumption, that if somebody asks you directly, so then you have the los essays. But if there's an ani who needs taco, who's not actually approaching you, so then you have a mitzvah saseh, you don't have the los saseh. And he uses that approach to answer both questions. He says that in a chanami, that if somebody were to come and approach you, and it's somebody who's starving right now and he needs your help, but he's coming and asking you for help, so in a chanami, proof of the Rav Yosef would not pater you, would not exempt you. Osik B'mitzvah would not exempt you from helping somebody who is right now in need and is coming and approaching you. But if he's not approaching you and you happen to be aware of an ani, so then you have a positive mitzvah, but Osik B'mitzvah patters from that. So it's a different approach to the question, but it ties together both questions. He's answering both the question of how do you get patered from the los essays, and how do you get patered from the ben adam l'chavero? So essentially he uses one answer to answer both, that the los essays are only relevant in a certain more direct extreme situation, and in such a situation indeed you would not be pater because of pruta de Rav Yosef or osek b'mitzvah. Hi.
Is the assumption there that Rav Yosef would hold that the hana, there's enough hana to call the Shomer David a Shomer Sachar by saying that it would only work, it would only be, it would only really be Potter in a certain instances. Meaning, I think it seems to be a hard reading to the Gemara, because the Gemara says that the Yosef answers that the Hanah that makes him a Shomer Sachar is that he doesn't have to give bread to a person that comes to ask him.
Right. No, they have to give bread to a person who needs. So that's
what he doesn't have to give bread to a person who finds.
Right. So maybe if he actually comes and presents himself to you, so then you would have to.
So isn't the inherent
assumption. It's a Chiddush in the Gemara.
Right, but isn't the inherent assumption that would make it more of a Chiddush that there's enough Hana in his being Pater from giving an Ani that he knows to be around, that's enough Hana to call him a Shomer Sacher. Because that seems to be a much less Hana than needing to give to a Baal Ubikesh.
Saying it's which one is more? How are you?
It would be more Hana than if I was Pater, even in this case with the Mishnah Safir saying the laws
right.
Say would apply.
Okay, therefore, what would you do with that?
It seems like way more of a finish to say that in the case it's only applying to the case where the laws is not applying.
Because it's going to be less
frequent. Because it doesn't seem like it's so much Hana.
So the question, any way you look at it, doesn't seem like it's so much Hana. Right? So that's a question B'chlal you have to figure out. And it's also interesting, I'm trying to think how it would line up here, but the Gemara in the Nedarim said that this is not Shliach. So on the one hand, you say you're making even less Shliach by narrowing the cases, but on the other hand, you could say the other way, that if you're Chayiv when he comes to you, so, and that's the only situation that's going to be different, so that's less Shliach than when you would say you're putter from just knowing about the Yadik to say if you read this Gemara is only talking about a situation where somebody approaches you, just punked when you're involved in a mitzvah, so then maybe, okay, that's why the Gemara says, how likely is that? What are the chances that you're going to save any money because somebody came and asked you at the exact moment that you were involved in a mitzvah? But if we're saying that it patters you specifically from people who aren't asking, so then you could say Ibcha, that's pretty shliach. There's always people around who aren't asking.
Right.
So it's an interesting question.
It seems like it's not even the Hana of not being able to, of not needing to give to a person that I know of. I mean, that's mashma that usually I have to give to that person.
Right.
Because I feel like, I mean, I could
have to, but have to alter mitzvah saseh.
Right. I mean, like right now, every time that I'm in Woodmere, I know that there's a
right.
guy asking for money outside of the supermarket. So that means that I'm constantly chayav to give him money until he's not.
Oh, so then there's still parameters, but you know the parameters are limited to a mitzvah saseh, as opposed to when the guy comes and approaches you, then the stakes are higher.
So it would seem like that Hana might not even just be specific to the Prit de Yosef situation, meaning it doesn't even seem like it's so specific to the to me being a Shomer Avedim. I feel like that Hana
well,
is
that would be one of the factors. Your Hizaskus B'mitzvah would be one of the factors that's going to affect how obligated you are. But it is an interesting consideration to think about, because you can see svaras in both ways. Now, speaking of seeing svaras in both ways, so that is going to be part of a major battleground that affects this Gemara specifically. So you'll see in the next few minutes many svaras going both ways, and we will allude vaguely to some of the backstory behind this discussion as well. To start with what's out in the open, so the Or Sameach in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, the Or Sameach has a Chakira, has a Safek, as follows. It says, okay, so we know that a Shomer Sacher we know that a Motzi Aveda, somebody who finds the lost property, is Chayiv in Shmira. So how far does that Shmira go? So okay, in terms of what you are liable for if something happens to the, let's say, animal that you found, okay, that's this question here in the Gemara, is it Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sacher? But as we know from our Perek, right, from our Mishnah a lot ago, there are other questions to consider. So what about, for example, if you find an animal that's lost, and while it is on your watch, this animal is mazik something. Are you chayiv for the nazikin that this animal does? Maury, you want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I feel like maybe we did say that we saw, we're aware of it, that the person's the kabbalah. Right, so I think the Rambam might have that. The the Lashon.
That which person, under what scenario?
That the Motze Veda is Lashon Veda. He has a Chayas, but I would say that the answer is probably totally on the kind of Kenyan that I make on what I pick up in a Veda.
Interesting.
I make Kona the object for myself, and then I have just a, like, am I, is it Midin Zafin? Is it, I mean, does the object that belong to me? Because
okay.
If I'm just holding it for someone, then I mean, the Nezek should belong to the person that it belongs to. But if I have a din agav of like a shomer or something like that, then there might be room to say. I mean, obviously the Gemara has a discussion of what kind of shomer is in terms of the level of achrayas.
Okay, interesting. Jed?
Does this go into what Tosfos says about how Listim would become the Baal
for
Nezek, and so in that situation maybe he'd be Chayav because he's the only one who's capable of guarding. Maybe it traces back to the question as to what the Chiyav of payment, the Chiyav Tashlumin is, if it's coming from the lack of the Shmira or if it's in Adam HaMazim.
Okay, interesting. Sam?
Well, I guess the question I would have to ask is it, once he takes the Aveda, does it become his mamlo? Because if it's not his mamlo, then he lacks the mamlo, which is an aspect to it.
But how would it become his mamlo? Like under?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Okay, interesting.
That's kind of what I meant, but I didn't mean to use the word zachen, but like it almost seems like it's working for, like, or at least as a mashal to like shlichus. That is a shlichus person.
Well, I think what the tashav between all three of you are saying is that on some level, the question is, to what extent is the Shomer Aveda Nichnas Tachas Habaylan?
Right.
That the original owner, he would have been Chayev for whatever Hezekiah's animal does under the relevant circumstances. So to what extent does the one who finds it, does he enter into that status? So what the Or Sameach says after posing that question, and the Sefer seems to leave it as a suffix, but he says it should be totally on the two opinions here in the Gemara about why is it a Shomer Sacher. Because if we're saying that it's because of Osik B'Mitzvah, and that schar that he gets from being exempted from other mitzvos is like a payment, so okay, so then he's a normal Shomer Sacher. A normal Shomer Sacher, so then he should take on all of the relevant liabilities. He should be watching it. But, according to the second statement here, Kevan derachmana shabdei balkarche hilchach kishomer sacher dami. So we have to figure out, and we'll talk more about this, what exactly does that sentence mean? But I think there's a couple of ways to interpret that sentence, but starting from how Or Sameach understands it, that the Torah, regardless of his being paid or not paid, the Torah is meshabed him to this chiyuv. And because of that chiyuv, so what emerges is that he has a responsibility. But that responsibility is because of his mitzvah to the one who lost the object. So therefore, says the Or Sameach, presumably it's only litovas habaylim, that whatever will help the person who lost it, that's where he has a responsibility. So he has to protect this aveda for the benefit of the loser. Again, we say that not judgmentally, but just recognizing his place in the story. So that's the limit. But a chiyuv towards someone else, towards a third party whose property got damaged, that's not included in this shibud that the Gemara is talking about. Jacob?
But if that's the case, then, meaning if the person who finds the agra, the ox, is not the one paying for the damage, then mistama is coming from either the cow itself or the owner of the cow.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, or do we just say no one's chayiv?
Yeah, we have to say no one's chayiv, yeah. Presumably, let's assume we'll say no one's chayiv. It's just possible.
Okay.
Yeah. That causes, that might be problematic for any of the shittas we saw that would understand that as like to be a communal or societal benefiting din. Because this is then a flaw in that.
Okay, so
maybe enough for now.
Let's see how that fits in. So it happens to be that Ritzvi Pesach Frank disagrees with this. So here's where part of the sparks are flying, but it gets worse. But Ritzvi Pesach Frank thought the exact opposite. And he said that he thinks, you say completely the other way around. He says, Mehechi Tesi, how do you know that this Rahman and Mishabde is only for the benefit of the Bible? Doesn't say that. So maybe it means that Rahmana was Mishabed him completely. The Torah was Mechayiv him to be completely responsible for this animal. And he thinks according to that side, it could be that he is Chayiv and the Nezikin that are created. The opposite of what the Or Sameach says. And he says the first side, that just because he is taking on the responsibility as Osek B'mitzvah, so that doesn't necessarily follow that he should be Chayiv in the Nezikin. And here's a point that others make as well, we'll get to hopefully, that the idea of Nichnas Tachas Abaylim, that you see specifically discussed at the top of this Gemara, I don't know if I asked you to look at this specific Gemara, I should have said it straight, but look at the top line of this daf, of this Amud, and Vav Amud Beis, Kevin Daf Kua, Kaimalei B'Shusayu L'Chol Milei, that somebody who removes the animal from its protected place, it's now in his turf. And you see the way Tosfos, this first Tosfos over here, if you haven't had a chance, I don't remember if I had to look at it, so take a look when you get a chance at this Tosfos Pshita. So the svar is that the person who broke in, the Ganav, so he's the reason that the Bailim can't watch it anymore. So it makes sense that he takes care of everything, and he takes on full liability. But the Shomer Aveda, he's not the reason that this animal is wandering around. If he didn't get involved, the animal would still be wandering around. So it doesn't necessarily follow that he's Nichnas Tachas Abaylim in the same way as a Ganav would be. So essentially, he disagrees Makatze Lakatze with the Or Sameach. Where do you find this comment to Ritzvi Pesach Frank? So I'm not sure. You find it at the bottom of my Mishnas Yavetz, because I had written once upon a time, I had written a horror on the side that Ritzvi Pesach Frank has this whole svara. I don't remember where it is. I assume it was somewhere in the Tshuvas. So I looked today in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi and I found the discussion of this topic. It doesn't say this part. So this may come from somewhere else. I will mention in a few minutes what he does say in the Tshuva. But at some point, I saw Ritzvi Pesach Frank somewhere else make these points, and there are other points in the Shuvas which I'll mention in a second. Hi.
This might be too tangential, but what if you know, like, let's say you know it's your friend's ox, and you know it's Bua, like, you know it's going to cause damage. You see it out in the field. Like, if we hold by the fact that you're taking responsibility over it, you would essentially be including yourself money and somebody else like, for the damage.
Are you asking if somebody is chayiv in Hashava Saveda, if it means it's going to come? That's an interesting question to explore. It does get tangential. But that's an interesting question to think about. But in any event, just to put that aside for a second. So far we have a clash between Yor Sameach and Ritzvi Pesach. There's another level to this whole clash. But apparently there was a Maisa, the details of which are somewhat disputed and murky, and there are different versions, that there was a meeting of the Rabbanim in Europe where Reb Chaim Brisker was present and the Or Sameach was present, and they discussed this Gemara. There are different versions of the story, and there is apparently some pretty intense background also, so there was a personal machlokas going on at the time. I don't want to get into the details between Reb Chaim and Yor Sameach, which may have affected this. You can see some of this in the Rishima Shiurim that Rabbi Reichman wrote, the Rav Shiurim. So he tells part of the story, but some of the more intense details are not there. Various biographies talk about it. I'm not going to get into everything about it. But what's related, at least in the Rishim HaShiurim, is that there was a meeting of the Rabbanim, and the Or Sameach met Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim was there with his then teenage son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, before his career here in our yeshiva. And that the Or Sameach asked Reb Moshe Soloveitchik in his teenage state, what sugya was he learning? He was learning the sugya of Shomer Aveda, and the Or Sameach posed this question: is a Shomer Aveda chayiv in the nezikin of the animal that he's watching? So again, there are apparently many different versions of the story. Who started the conversation? What were they getting at in the conversation? Apparently there's a whole background behind it. But this was the subject, or this was a part of the subject. So there, in the Rishim HaShiurim, the way it's brought, it has things that are not in the Or Sameach, but it doesn't have as a suffix that has the Or Sameach took one side of the issue without, as far as I saw, connecting it to the two versions of why it should be a Shomer Sacher, and that Reb Chaim disagreed with him. And that there it has the Or Sameach saying that the Shomer Aveda is Chayiv in the Nezikin, and Reb Chaim taking the position that he is Pater from the Nezikin, for reasons similar to what we just said before, that the Nichnas Tachas Abaylim, that's true for a Ganav who created the situation that the animal is not under the protection of the original owner, but it shouldn't be true for a Shomer Aveda, his responsibilities are more limited. So there, it's basically presented as a Machlokes, the Or Sameach and Reb Chaim, with the Or Sameach taking a more absolute position on this question that he is Chayiv, and Reb Chaim saying differently. It's also recorded there and elsewhere that the Or Sameach had a second suffix, and that his other question was, there is an unusual din, which is a topic of a lot more discussion than we can have right now. There's a parak above Metzia about this, the din of Baila Vimo. That if I borrow an item and the person I borrow it from is working for me, even in a very minor sense, so the Torah tells us that there is a ptur for damages to that item under those Baila Vimo circumstances. It's a little bit of a mysterious din. Some suggest that it's the Xeris HaKasa without a Svara. Others have various Svaras to explain it. But that's the din. So the Or Sameach posed the question, if somebody is a Shomer Aveda and the owner of the Aveda works for him, it's a Baila Vimo, so is there a Ptur under those circumstances? So here was also a machlokas between the Or Sameach and Reb Chaim, as again presented in the Rishim HaShiurim on this daf, that according to the Or Sameach, there's no ptur. And the major reason was that he's assuming, based on Gemaras, that for the ptur to be in effect, it has to be Baila Vimo at the time of the acquisition, at the time that you borrow the item. And here, the Hischaivus for the Aveda is coming at a different point. If you look in the Rishim HaShiurim, there's a very extensive discussion to explain Reb Chaim's disagreement with that point. So we won't get into all the ins and outs of that, but according to that version of what happened, so that was the second question, is the Shomer Aveda subject to a ptur of Baila Vimo, and how does that connect to this Gemara? So you can read, if you want to get into the depths of the discussion, you can read in the Rishim HaShiurim, and again, from what I'm told, there's more about this in biographies of Or Sameach, biographies of Chaim. Apparently it was a whole heated discussion, that there was a lot going on in the background that also kind of provoked a certain intensity to the discussion. Beyond this, there's a few other svekas which have been suggested might be totally on the two different versions. So, for example, the Rugachever has a discussion. Where does the concept of suffik fit in? Let's say if somebody picks up a suffik aveda, he's not sure if this belongs to anybody he's chayav to return it to. So does that make a difference? And should that be affected by the two possibilities? Should we say that the shibud creates one level of liability here, but if we look at it through osik b'mitzvah, so then that's a different question? So what is the story about osik b'safik mitzvah? If a person is osik b'safik mitzvah, does that pater him from other mitzvahs? That pater you from a vaday mitzvah? And if it doesn't pater you from a vaday mitzvah, so then maybe you don't have this whole prutah d'rabbosah concept. So that's the discussion the Rugachever has. You can find that discussed in the Shiurim of Rav David Pavarsky to Maseches Bav Metzia. Because Maseches Bav Metzia, so prutah d'rabbosah comes up there also. So there in the second parak, question about the more direct context of picking up an aveda and a suffik aveda. So in Rav David Pavarsky's shiurim over there, he quotes the Rugachever in the whole discussion. But this was also a discussion. This was also a machlokes. The Imre Bina was the Kalash Rav from Yerushalayim in pre-state Jerusalem. So the Imre Bina, we lived in the 1800s. So he has a discussion in Siman Yud Gimel in Aruch Chaim. He has a lot of svekos and discussions and positions about Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. So he talks about this question.
Is he the same thing?
Sorry?
The Rugachever and the Imre Bina say the same thing?
No. Although it's related. That what the Imre Bina discusses there is the question, because a lot of things about Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, and he talks about there also about whether there is a patur even in a suffix. And he says that he thinks from this Gemara you see that it does exempt even in a suffix, because if it didn't, that would be an afkamina between Shomer Chinam and between the two versions of Shomer Sachar. And since the Gemara doesn't say it's an afkamina, it doesn't emphasize that it's only in a Vaday Aveda situation, so he says that's a proof that it applies even when you don't have a definite aveda. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank disagrees with that also. Again, how do you know that? Because it's on the bottom of my notes over there. But he does have a tshuva where he gets into some of the yanim, makes some different points, and this can be found in the Tshuva's Har Tzvi in Choshen Mishpat and Siman Tzadi Hei. And there, he also takes issue with the Nesivus HaMishpat. The Nesivus was quoted by the Imre Bina also, but I don't recall that in the Tshuva's Har Tzvi he takes on the Imre Bina, but it's all one big party. So the Imre Bina disagrees with the Nesivus. The Nesivus in Siman Ayin Beis in the Choshen Mishpat, the Nesivus writes that the Ptur of Pruta de Rav Yosef only applies, and in general, assuming Osik Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah, as a rule, only applies when it's a mitzvah you're mechuyev to do. But if it's a mitzvah that you volunteer to do, so then you don't have a p'tur of osik b'mitzvah. And he's talking about a gabbai tzedakah, among other things. If somebody takes on voluntarily the role to be a gabbai tzedakah, so then he's not going to be p'tur from other things. And others disagreed, so the Imre Bina disagrees from his perspective. And that's one of the points that the Har Tzvi does discuss in that Tshuva in Siman Tzadi Hei. So a part of the context here he also is figuring out. So let's say you have somebody who's a zaken the Eino Lufi Chvodo. And the Gemara says that if somebody is a distinguished elder and returning this lost item is going to require him to demean himself in some way, so then you are putter from doing the Hashavas Aveda. So let's say the Zaken says, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to voluntarily return this Aveda. So would he be Pater from other mitzvahs, Pruta de Rav Yosef? Would that also kick in? So the Nesivus thought not. And the Har Tzvi, and others disagreed and said that their interpretation of the sugya is it would be a tour anyway, and once he gets involved, so he is mechuyev, etc., etc. It's also a part of the swirling debate that surrounds these lines. So there's a lot more to say about this, but just to introduce one other factor, and then we'll have to call it for today and move on to other things. But you saw the Rambam on this Gemara. Right, that I know is on the Kohar's list. So did you notice anything interesting about how the Rambam formulates this?
Can
you give him a book? Yeah, I think it's right. Aveda. How does the Rambam formulate this? Yeah?
He says the reason that you're going to be a Shomer Sofer is because you're Pater from Kama Mitzvah Saseh.
Right, so what's interesting about that formulation?
As opposed to Pruta de Rav Yosef.
Right, he doesn't focus on the monetary benefit of Tzedakah. He says, because you're Pater Min HaMitzvah, mitzvahs in general, so that gets you off the hook. So that's also discussed in the Rishima Shirim. And he suggests, maybe a little more to it, I'm not sure if he's saying all of this now, I want to add a little bit to it, that the Rambam understands that the real Torah of Pruta de Rav Yosef is the mitzvah. The involvement in the mitzvah is what patters you, and not the dollar that you happen to save by not giving the tzedakah. But more, that's the sign of something. And here's where I want to just add to it a little bit. So if you look at the Mishkas Yaveh, the sefer which I mentioned to you yesterday, Rav Zhalti from Yerushalayim, so he has a piece about Shomer Aveda. Not the same piece we were talking about yesterday, but the same sefer. A few simanim before that one we were talking about yesterday. So he talks about the Or Samech and about other things, just the Or Samech and the sefer. He doesn't have the whole exciting story about the human encounter, but he talks about the Or Samech as quoted in the sefer itself, as it appears in the sefer Or Samech. So he talks a little bit about this question and as well the question of the Rambam. And the question of why does the Rambam not talk about the Pruta specifically? And also a question that the Marshal and others ask, why does the Rambam pick the first view as opposed to the second view? Why doesn't he possibly like the second opinion here? So among other points that he makes is that it could be these two opinions are not really disagreeing. And you know, I wonder if this is a solid argument or not, but he calls attention to the fact that in between the two different versions of why it's a Shomer Sacher, so what are the two words here? The three words here? It says, Ikka d'mafarshi hachi. So you would expect when you have two conflicting opinions that you introduce the second one, how?
Inami
maybe, or Ikka d'amri, those who say something different. So he considers it significant that it says Ikka d'mafarshi. And he wants to suggest that these are not really two competing opinions. It's two different ways of explaining something. And therefore, essentially, they are linked. And then when he takes that a little further, as he says, and this overlaps in the way the Rav presents it also, that we really have two different elements here. That in order to call the Shomer Aveda a Shomer Sacher, so we need two things. We need the Schar, and we need also an acceptance. Like this guy didn't decide to be a Shomer Sacher. Normally, in a normal Shomer Sacher situation, you have two things going on. Somebody agrees to watch your property, and you pay him to watch your property. So even if you want to say that there's Schar that comes to him because he's Pater from giving Tzedakah, but where is the Kabbalah Shmir? So perhaps this is two halves of the same concept, that the Torah is machayiv him to be makabel shmira, so therefore that's the acceptance. And he still has to get paid, so the schar that he saves from not having to give tzedakah, that's the schar part of the equation. And that could also explain why the Rambam is choosing the first opinion over the second opinion. He's not, says Rav Zhalti, it's all one. And therefore, it's all necessary. So I was wondering, say, a little bit differently, but maybe this overlaps with what the Rav was saying, I'm not sure, but that perhaps it could also be that the whole concept of Prut of the Rav Yosef, which, as we've noted, seems a little bit surprising in its focus, is that maybe that's what the Rambam is understanding, that it's not so much about the fact that you save a dollar because you're not giving that dollar to an Ani. It's about the fact that you see that there's a serious Chi of Mitzvah here, because it's binding on the person so much so that he's Pater from other mitzvahs. So this isn't a take it or leave it kind of thing. This is a situation which is serious enough that he's going to be Pater from mitzvahs. So if that's the case, apparently it is a full-blown commitment with all of the implications. I wonder if that's a possible reading in the Gemara here, that if you see that maybe the tzedakah isn't so much because of its monetary benefit, but it's because that's a scenario which could come up while you are involved in the Shomer Aveda. So since as a Shomer Aveda, you're putter from other things, so that shows you it's a serious deal. And with full-blown commitments, that's going to be a valid excuse not to do other mitzvos that would come up. And if that's the case, it's a shibud in the full sense, and you should be chayiv like a shomer sachar. Now, we still, if that's what it means, we still have to figure out how elsewhere in Shas, it does seem like we're talking about it as a monetary value, or at least something that is measurable as a benefit, not just as an obligation. But maybe that's the Rav's point, that the idea of being fully committed to the mitzvah and recognized as an osig b'mitzvah to such a sense that such an extent that you're parted from other things, so that is a benefit to you, and whether you measure that monetarily or not, then maybe that's the implications that we find in various sugyas. Hi.
How do you explain that as a benefit, being parted from other things, being parted from other mitzvah opportunities?
So we thought, and maybe it's still true, that it sounds like from our Gemara, just is in a very basic sense that you're not obligated to pay for other things that cost money. But maybe the way the Rambam is understanding it, and maybe the way the Rav is understanding it, again, you have to see if this is exactly the way to formulate it, but it's that it's more than that, that it's the spiritual ramifications of being a full-blown Oseik B'mitzvah that is something that is a benefit to you in a broader sense, and therefore that's recognizable, at least here in this context, to make you completely committed to the Shemira as you would be if you were being paid. And you have to see how well it works with some of the other ideas, such as Hana and Nidarim, and situations like that. Right.
So just so to clarify, I mean, like, since like the geschmack of being fully engaged in something,
I would say geschmack,
like,
but I'm saying the everything that comes from it. Yeah, perhaps the schar mitzvah, perhaps the role that comes with it. I'm not sure if we can absolutely be machria one way or another, but that there's perhaps something more than the dollar that you saved, or that the dollar that you save is a kind of a token, that it's your token salary, which is enough to show that this is a serious commitment. Hi.
And is there any significance that the Rambam say kama mitzvos asay at the exclusion of other mitzvos asay?
Well, there's always exceptions, and maybe he's just being careful to recognize that he doesn't want to stay in that state, that is from everything. Okay, so just to quickly recap the headlines of what we spoke about today, the highlights. So we spoke about the fact, we mentioned a different approach to the two questions we mentioned yesterday, the question of how could you potter from staka when it's both ben adam l'chavero and involving los asays. And we saw the approach of the Mishnah Sachir and the Kintara Bahalacha that addresses both questions at once, that the los asays are only relevant in a certain more urgent, direct kind of situation, and in that situation, indeed, you would not be putter because of osek b'mitzvah. And then we talked about some of the various controversies, both in real life and on the page, that surrounded this section of Gemara here, that the Or Sameach in the Sefer posed the question of whether a shomer aveda should be putter from chayiv or putter in the nezikin that the animal he's watching would cause, and he thought it was totally on two dais that are brought here in the Gemara, and Rav Si Pesach Frank thought the exact opposite, that it was totally in the opposite direction. In other svarim, such as the Rishim HaShirim, it's quoted just that the Or HaSameach decided, based on this Gemara, that you are that you are chayiv in the nezikin that were created, and that Reb Chaim disagreed. And Reb Chaim said, no, the idea of nichnas tachas abaylim is only because the ganav created the situation that this animal is wandering around, but somebody else who's watching it would not necessarily have the same liabilities. And there's apparently a whole backstory and many different versions of what exactly that encounter involved and the role of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik in the story, etc., etc. And then we mentioned that there was another suffix that was connected to that encounter, the question of whether the p'tur of Bailev Imo would apply to Shomer Aveda, and that was also apparently disputed between the Or Sameach and Reb Chaim. And then we talked about the question of, does it make a difference if it's a suffix Aveda, and how the Rabbitshover thought that that was totally on the two different statements in the Gemara here. And the Imre Bina took the Gemara to be saying that it should have been Tali, and since it doesn't say anywhere that it is a nafkamina, therefore apparently Shomer Aveda and the Osek B'mitzvah, even if it's a Safek mitzvah, is pater from other things. And in that context, he took on the statement of the Nesivis, that the Nesivis said that Purtav Yosef would only apply to a mitzvah you're mechuyevin and not one you voluntarily do. And Rav Shmuel Pesach Frank argued on that also. And that you can find in the Tshuva. That's another part of the whole discussion here. And then we noted that the Rambam's formulation is surprising, because the Rambam doesn't focus on pruta or money that you save, but he says because you're pater from other mitzvos, and then discussed how the Rav understood that, and then noted also the possibility, as Rav Zolti discusses, that maybe these two versions of why we are Shomer Socher are not necessarily arguing with each other, but are two different ways of saying the same point, or two different aspects of the same point. And he focused on the phrase Ikad Mefarshi as being significant to that extent. And one way to say it is that you are addressing two different halves here. You need both a schar and a Kabbalah Shmira. Another way to say it is that maybe we're not focusing on the saving of the money, but on the fact that you're putter for mitzvahs in general as an indication of something. And they directed you on many of these points to look at the Rishim Mashirim, where there is a more extensive discussion about a lot of this. But one of the things that emerges, that as Rav Zolti also notes, that if Rav Zolti is right, that these two statements really are linked and not arguing with each other, but are somehow connect. So then all of the efforts to be told of various shilas on the two opinions would fall away. So that the Or Sameach's approach and the Rebbe Chair's approach also, anybody who would say a nafgamina based on one answer or the other, if they're really saying the same thing, then you wouldn't end up having much of a nafgamina. Okay, so we will stop here. And we'll dive in. Who's diving for us? Daniel, you want to dive for us?